Continue in our studies on Sunday afternoon. On the head covering, we have seen, and all that we have seen in the last two messages and in today's message are preliminary to that which is presented in what will be our text passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and verses 1 through 16. We have seen order. God has an order, and God has a purpose for that order. We may not see it, or we may see it. That is irrelevant. God is the sovereign, and He is the creator of all, and He doeth all things according to His purpose, according to His will, His good pleasure. And that, in the work of creation, He created man first. And of man, He then created woman secondly. And that thought is presented to us in the New Testament. It was followed in the Old Testament. In fact, as thinking about it and looking at Old Testament Scripture, there was nowhere in the Old Testament Scripture where God had to remind them of the order that was set forth. Man was created first, and woman was taken of him and created. And He brought the woman and gave her unto the man to be his wife. Because of a lot of things going on in the world today, I'd like to take that thought and just preach on it sometime. That's not in the thread of these messages. The thread of these messages is to present to you the order, to present to you what the physical union of a man and a woman together in matrimony, we call it holy matrimony, and yes, it is holy matrimony. Marriage, it was sanctioned by God, ordained by God, instituted by God. And man was to leave his father and mother and to cleave unto his wife, and the two would become one flesh again. The man leaving father and mother pictures Christ, of whom the church was taken out of Christ. It pictures the man leaving father and mother and cleaving to his wife, pictures Christ leaving heaven to take unto him his bride. The physical union of a man and woman is to picture the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. The man is representing Christ is in the authoritative figure. He has authority over the woman, as Christ has authority over his church. And the woman is to be in submission to her husband, just as the church is to be in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we dwelt upon this thought last week. When the church assembles together, it is to reflect that in her assembly. It is to reflect the church in submission to Christ, yes. But it is to reflect that same order in the fact that the men are the ones who are to preach, to teach, to govern. In some point, they reflect Christ, they picture Christ in his office as prophet, priest, and king. In his office as prophet, the man is to fill the duties of those who speak forth in the assembly, in prayer and prophesying, in prayer and preaching, divine inspiration, the giving forth of divine inspiration. Duties as priests are depicted, are portrayed in the men of the assembly, leading in the assembly in prayer. They are the go-between. They are the ones who take us to the throne of grace. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 talk about Jesus Christ being the mediator, one mediator between God and man. And then immediately following that in verse 8, it says, and therefore ought holy men lifting up holy hands in prayer to God. Men are to lead the assembly lifting up holy hands in prayer to the Lord. Then the last one that we looked at in this office was the fact of king. Man in his role within the assembly is to depict, to portray Christ as king. That is, they are to rule over the assembly, as is noted by pastors. and deacons, which both offices the Lord gave to the church, and his mark of qualification to that was that they be a man. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 last week, trying to set order in the church and not having confusion in the church. And there's confusion when a man, 1 Corinthians 14 tells, when he gets up and he speaks in a language that is unknown to the assembly. He's not benefiting any of the assembly. There's confusion. They have no idea what he's talking about. If he does it without an interpreter. If he does it without an interpreter. And then it talks about prophesying. He that prophesieth. He that speaks the word of God, divine, being divinely inspired of God, and speaks it forth. He speaks it forth. And he speaks unto the edification of the assembly and the body. Proceeding on in that 14th chapter, you get down into verses 34, 35. And keeping order in the church, in verse 33 says that I'm going to have to turn. I'm drawing a blank on it. 1 Corinthians 14. For God is not the author of confusion. You see, he's not the author of confusion. He doesn't want someone coming in here speaking Spanish to an English-speaking assembly. Because we would not understand it. We would not fit it. It's confusion, he says. And he doesn't want women speaking out in the assembly. She's to sit and learn in silence. She's to sit and learn when as the men get up and the men speak forth the divinely inspired word of God. She's to sit and learn it in silence. And then if she has any questions about what was preached or doesn't quite understand what was preached, then she's to ask her husband at home. Now this afternoon, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Not 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verses 12 and 13. And we ended up last week with this passage of Scripture, and we'll begin with this passage of Scripture this week. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority, take to herself authority over the man, but to be in silence. Corresponds with 1 Corinthians 14, verse 35. She's to learn in silence. She's to be silence. For Adam was first formed, then he takes us back to the creational order. Listen, this isn't something that I, as a male chauvinist, dreamed up. And I'm not a male chauvinist. I love women. I think they're important. But according to God, they have their place and their order. in the home and in the church and in society. And it's based on the creational argument. Man was first formed. And woman was taken of man for man. Keep that in your minds. That's important as well. These are the commands of Scripture. And they demand that male, the man, fill the authoritative role within the assembly. Corinthians is written to the Corinth assembly. 1 Timothy is written to the young pastor, Timothy, how he is to direct and to lead his assembly. They're God's commands. Why? For the proper ministry, so that he gets honor and glory and praise. Listen, it's all to depict. In the husband-wife relationship, it is to depict Christ and the church. Church in submission to Christ. Christ is the head. Christ is the authority. In the church, it is to depict that same order. That we're an assembly of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this assembly is under His commands, under His rule, and we are in submission to Him. It's picturing Christ's authority over the church. The woman is to be in silence. She is to be in silence as Christ's representatives, pastors and teachers can teach the Word of God, and as deacons carry out their temporal responsibilities. And I'll just insert this here. This church doesn't have deacons. We're not large enough to need deacons. But a problem has existed over the years. It's not a new problem. It existed over the years. Deacons seem to get the big head and think they're to rule over the church. That wasn't their purpose. That wasn't what they were given for. They were given to look to the temporal needs of the assembly of the church, so that take some of the load off of the pastor, so that he could devote time to reading and study of the Word of God and prayer. And in no place in Scripture will you find that deacons were to rule over the pastor. That's out of order. That's out of order the way God designed it. He gave to be over His church, to lead His church in the Word of God and following the Word of God and edifying the body, the assembly of whom He is pastor. He's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers for that work, not deacons. Deacons were only to be a help to the pastor, and in serving the pastor, they serve the church and the temporal affairs of the church. That's free. That won't cost you a thing. Look with me back up here at verse 11. 1 Timothy 2. Let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. Let her learn being silent and placing herself voluntarily in submission. There again, this is instructive. This passage is instructive of the church, the order of the church. Because she is to picture the church. You need to understand that. You need to get it into your minds, into your heart. That she is to picture the church in subjection to Christ. And all the church. And female. Are to picture that as well. And man in his role as being the public speaker of the assembly pictures that submission to Christ, does he not? Whose word is this? Who commanded this? It's the word of God. It's commanded. And so he is picturing submission as well. So, as pastors, teachers, deacons carry out their respective offices, the woman is to be in silence in the assembly. And this is exactly, emphasized again, this is exactly what the church should do when Christ speaks. I'm pausing for a moment. And the reason I'm pausing for a moment is to let you think about that. This is exactly what the church should do when Christ speaks. The church, male and female, when Christ's representative speaks, ought to be in silence, ought to learn in silence. Just as when God's word tells a church that it ought to be doing something, the church ought to be silent and they ought to be obedient. They ought to hear. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. And look with me at verse 20. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Where's his holy temple today? It's his church. He's here. He's in our presence. Every time this church meets, every time this church assembles together, he's here. When we assemble in the worship service, let all the earth keep silence before him. Before him. Keep silence. He's here. When we enter into this assembly and assemble together for this worship service, he's here. Be silent. Hear from him. He has something to speak. Look at the verse before that, verse 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. He's here. He's reproving idolatry, those images they made. They don't speak forth. You can speak to them, you can talk to them, and they don't speak forth. They have mouths to speak, but they speak not. They have eyes to see, but they see not. They have ears to hear, but they hear not. They have hands, but they handle not. They have feet, but they walk not. They're dumb. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Keep silent. Hear from Him. He has something to speak. Speak to us. Book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 7. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. Hold thy peace. Be silent. Be quiet. At the presence of the Lord God. Hear. You're in His presence. The church, the assembly is to be quiet. And to hear from Him. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid His guest. He has bid us come. Come to my feast. Come to my table. Be fed. You're being fed from the Word of God. You're hearing from the mouth of God. And we'll come. Being quiet, being silent, and to hear from Him. Therefore, the representatives of the church. Who's the representative of the church? The woman. She portrays by her submission. And by the covering that she places on her head, get into that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, by the covering that she places on her head, and her submission to the man in the assembly, she is portraying the assembly in submission to its head, to its authority, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a truth, ladies. It's a truth that you're to picture in the assembly. You do that by being silent and being submissive. And, since I've already said it, by placing the artificial covering on your head. You're in silence as Christ's representative acts, speaks in the behalf of Christ. Whether it's me as your pastor or in my absence, some other man that gets up and expounds the divinely inspired Word of God to you. You're to be in silence, in submission. Every command in the New Testament that denies the one authority. That is, does not give her authority to teach men or hold any office of authority over the church, is expressly based upon the creational order. Back in Genesis chapter 2. Actually, back in Genesis chapter 1, male. And then female. Genesis chapter 1 says, so created he them, male and female. Chapter 2 is just an expounding of how he created them. Man was first. He was alone. And God caused a deep sleep to come over him. And he took a rib from his side and made woman with it. She was second in order to him. This is the order and design of God. And so I think we see that it's not based upon custom. It's not based upon any prejudice of the male members of this assembly or of any assembly. It's not like we're riding on some egotistical trip. There's not to be any pride and haughtiness in the Lord's assembly. We're all to be lowly, compassionate, and long-suffering one with another. But the Lord God has created an order. He's given that order to His assembly. And He expects that order to be carried out in His assembly. And He expects men to portray the Lord Jesus Christ in His office as prophet, priest, and king. And He expects the women to carry out their responsibility of portraying His church in submission to Him. So, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 12 and 13 says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp, to take to herself authority over the man, but to be in silence. Adam was first formed, then Eve." Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. For as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman. The woman wasn't created first and formed first and then man taken of the woman, but the woman of the man. The man was created first, was formed first, and then the woman was taken of man. Neither was the man created for the woman. He wasn't created for man, was alone, and God said it's not for man to be alone, and so He caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and He formed the woman out of man. She was made for him. For this cause, ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. We'll deal with this when we go through these verses more fully. But women, as you assemble together in this assembly, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're teaching the angels. You're teaching something to the angels. This assembly is teaching something to the angels. We've already seen from the book of 1 Peter that the angels are looking into these things, desiring to know these things. The 14th chapter now of 1 Corinthians. And going down to verses 34 and 35, we've alluded to them in opening remarks. Verse 34 and 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches. So this is a precept that is given not only to the church at Corinth, but it's a precept that is to be to all the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of His churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, to be under subjection, to be under submission, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask husbands at home. What a shame for a woman to speak in the church. As also saith the law. You go back to the Old Testament law and the law regarding those who were to stand before the assembly of Israel. And who was it? Who ministered in the tabernacle? Who ministered in the temple? It wasn't women that were in given that role. The law demanded that it be a man. And got even specific as to what tribe it was from. And then even more specific to what family when it came to the high priest. God has a greater design. No, it's a great design. I couldn't have thought it up. I couldn't have come up with it. Man didn't come up with it. It's God's order. It's God's design. And it's a greater design that is displayed in these commands than culture and prejudice. These commandments concerning the woman's position are the commandments of the Lord. You take issue with anything that I preach concerning this order and concerning the head covering, you take it up with the Lord. They're His commandments. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you from the first chapter through this chapter, more immediately concerning order in the assembly and everything else, even the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 16, which many of our brethren wanted to exclude and pass it off as being, oh, that was written for that time. In that era, the customs that were in the people in that day of Corinth and Paul's day, that is foolishness. Is it not? Just reason it out. God takes 16 verses in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He preserves it. He preserves it to be instructions to the churches, so that we can have it today. And it was only meant for then. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is how God expects us to walk and to behave, and especially in the assembly, His assembly, the church. There are the commandments of the Lord. These commandments are consistent with the order and design of creation. And, as we've already pointed out, they're in harmony with Old Testament teaching, the law. As 1 Corinthians 14 spells out. The husband and wife relationship is a portrait of a greater mystery. Christ and His church. It's not been that long ago that we went through Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22-32. We read to you there the order. Verse 21 started out with, let us all be in subjection one to another. And then gave us examples of the subjection. Wives subjection to their husbands, as the church is unto Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave it for. That's husbands, literally, husbands being subjection to your wives. You gotta be subject to love them as Christ loved them. Of the church and gave himself for it. And he gets done with all that in verse 32 and says, this is a great mystery. Well, it doesn't seem like a mystery to me. I, as the man, have the role of authority. My wife, as a woman, as my wife, has a role of following my leadership, submissively following my leadership. That says to the husbands, husbands, you be careful how you lead your wives. It's a great responsibility before God if you're going to lead them properly and correctly. Because if she's going to submit to Christ, she's bound to submit to you. Don't you lead her astray. Don't you lead her down the wrong road. Don't you harm her in any way. Don't you hurt her spirit in any way. Men, you're to be as Christ is with this church. You see, so this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and His church. You see, everything from Genesis chapter 2, the husband and the wife pictures the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. And a role of authority and submission is there by creational order. The order in which they were formed. And Sarah, just one Old Testament example is an example of this. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 1, likewise, you wives, be subject, be in subjection to your own husbands. To your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wise, the behavior of the wise. Look at verse 5. Be in subjection to your husband. Here's the example that he gives of that wise. Verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God, holy women who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection, being submissive unto their own husbands, even as, here's the example of those holy women who trust in God and the subjection which they had, they called their husband Lord. Isn't that what verse 6 says? Sure is. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, you're Sarah's daughters, by virtue of being holy women trusting in God, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. I'm going to ask. I won't. How many of you women here calling your husband Lord? That is Master. Just follow that train of thought through the Old Testament. And notice how the wives submitted to their husbands, and the husbands, they were out there in the authoritative role. Carrying on in the daily sphere of things. Turn with me, book of Genesis. Genesis, chapter 1. In verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female. That order is not put there by accident. It's not an error in translation. That's the order that God designed it in. Male and female created he them. Chapter 2. In verse 18. And the Lord God, this is giving us more information on verse 27 of chapter 1. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. There was only the male. He was formed first. It's not good that he should be alone. I will make him and help meet. I will make him a helper that is suitable for him. Literally, what that says. Turn with me now to chapter 3. Verse 16, and we're out of time. We're going to have to close there for this afternoon. Unto the woman, he said, "I greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." Every woman that has born a child knows of that sorrow and childbearing. "And thy woman," and you woman, "your desire shall be to thy husband," your own husband, "and he shall rule over thee." The word there, desire, is your longings, your cravings will be to serve him, to please him, to do that which honors him as the ruler, as the head, as the authoritative figure. This is the creational order that God set in place for every marriage. Now that role has gotten changed in the day in which we live. But God didn't change it. It's still the same. It's still God's Word. And we know that God's Word is eternal. Endureth forever. And that same word is reflected in Christ was first, and then the church was formed out of Christ. Christ is the ruler, is the authority, and the church is in submission. And when we assemble together as the assembly of the Lord, we are to reflect that in our order in the church. That same order that we see back there in creation. Well, we're going to have to stop there, as I said, and go on with it next week, the Lord willing. Shall we stand together? Be dismissed in a word of